St. Matthew, the third chapter. When you reach it, please say amen. First of all, I'd like to give honor to God, who is my all in all. And that's my everything. And I secondly give thanks to our pastor and first lady for the opportunity to minister before you, and to all the clergy, to our deacons, to all family and friends that are here this morning for the last Sunday morning of 2018. Thank you, Jesus. Say it, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I made it to 2018. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So many circumstances has caused us to be in this place this morning. There are so many obstacles and so many trials, so many issues, and so many things going on in our lives and around us. And we are yet thankful that God see fit that the 31st of today, we are still here. There's a lot of people that did not make it. There's a lot of people that fell beside the wayside, but we are still here. Let's read the scripture for this morning. It's a convenient scripture that I believe most of us know, and I'm going to take our topic from there, and we'll go from there. St. John 3, verses 16 through 18. I'll be reading from the NIV version, and let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his one son and only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Last verse, whosoever believe in him is not condemned. But whosoever does not believe stand condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the God, name of the God's one and only Son. That is the reading of the word. Let us say amen. Amen. If I had a topic for this morning, the topic would be thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the gift, Jesus Christ. I know we just came out of the celebration season of Jesus' birth, and we have gotten a lot of stuff and gift and cars and all these other things that we've gotten over the holiday, but that's not the true meaning of what really took place. The true meaning of what took place is that Jesus came and died for you. The most important part of the whole celebration that we often miss is that Jesus is the true reason for the season. Jesus is the greatest gift that you can have or give someone. Oftentimes our children become unthankful or ungrateful, or even us as adults, with the gifts that we get over the Christmas season. We have to begin to come back in 2018 to begin to be thankful for what God has done in your life. Because if you truly be honest, where you were at the beginning of the year, you are not there anymore. If you truly be honest, if you look back over your life, you can thank God for the gift that is in your life. Because where you are now was not predicated by what happened yesterday. But thank God that he sent the gift. Thank God that you've got the gift. Jesus Christ came into the world as God through the miraculous work of his own great power. And he was able to place his spirit in flesh and manifest himself for human beings as the gift of salvation. The greatest gift we can have is salvation. I often say there is probably three great things that you can give your children. One, Jesus Christ. Teach them the word. Speak to them when you come in and go out, the word of God said. Share the word of God with them. Let them know who God is for themselves. The second thing is a good education. And the third thing is manners, because it will often bring you a far way. And many times we as parents fail to give our children those three things. We often think about giving them. We always say, I'm going to give them everything that I did not have. But if you give them Jesus, they'll have everything. If you give them Christ, I can truly tell you they will need no other gift but him, because he is the sum total of everything that we have. We often try to buy our love of our children. We try to buy them these expensive Wii's and these things. And before the year ends, it's broken. Before the year ends, they don't even respect you. Before the year ends, they don't care nothing about you. They are cussing to you, telling you off after you done worked so hard to give them that gift. The spirit of ungratefulness has moved on from our children to our adults in the kingdom of God. We are some of the most ungrateful people. Even if God never does anything else for you, you should be thankful. You should be thankful that you got life. You should be thankful that you woke up. You should be thankful that you're not living under a bridge. You should be thankful that when you went to the hospital, God picked your body up and healed you. You should be thankful that when you were bugged out in your mind, you didn't go crazy. But we are not thankful. We want God to do these big, spectacular things so we can show off in front of one of each other. When it's not about that. It's about a grateful heart. It's about being thankful. It's about knowing that because of the gift that we have, we can lift our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. So we see that Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. The scripture says in Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord himself give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning Jesus is with us. Jesus was God's first before he became human. Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, the word of God. Jesus is both God and man at the same time. Let me explain to you that he has a divine nature and a human nature. Each and every one of us have two parents. Jesus had two parents. He had a spiritual father who is God. He had an earthly mother who is Mary. That's where his natural nature comes from, his fleshly nature. But his spiritual nature comes from God. So that's why he is called the God-man. So Jesus now knows his purpose and comes to earth through the process of bearing all of mankind's sins. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for God made Christ, who was never a sinner, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can have forgiveness of sin and become reconciled with God. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says, for there is only one God and one mediator whom reconcile God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We must understand that no man or woman could wipe away our sins. But God himself had to come in human form to take away our sins and reconcile us back to him. Because God is the only one that have the power to forgive our sins. He had to become the perfect lamb and the perfect sacrifice to do away with the old covenant so he can bring the new covenant that we can have life and have it that more abundantly. Without his blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus had to go through this process. And I can honestly say, Jesus, while he was going to the place called Golgotha, the place of skull, I really believe that Jesus was thinking in his mind, I wonder if these individuals that is stoning me, these people that are chanting, crucify him, really understand what is taking place here. And now, do they understand that because of me, they will have an opportunity to be reconciled back with the only and true living God? Because of Adam's sin, one man died. And because of God, Jesus Christ, we all can live in Christ Jesus. I wonder if they understand that while he was kneeling down, while the cross was on his shoulder, when he fell down, do they really understand the magnitude of what was taking place at that time? I really knew that the enemy didn't even know. Because if he knew, he wouldn't have set him up. Sometimes even us, if the enemy knew the blessing that you were getting ready to get, he would not have set you up. If the enemy knew that while you were sick in your body, that you were going to get healed and come out and tell other people that God is a healer, he wouldn't inflict you with that sickness. If he only knew that God was setting him up to use you as a witness to infect and impact others. Because one can chase 1,000. Two can chase how much? Come on in here. So I often wonder, did the enemy know the miracle that was getting ready to take place? As Jesus go to the place of skull, the place called Golgotha, each and every one of us right now, if you really think about it, the battle is really in your mind. Why is it so many people during the holiday season jump out of building? They become suicidal. The spirit of depression and the spirit of oppression falls upon them because the enemy wants to destroy their mind. It is a mind battle. And you've got to guard your mind with the helmet of salvation. You've got to protect your mind. You've got to protect your thoughts and your hearing, what you hear, what you see, what you listen to. You've got to be careful because your spirit is sensitive. And you got to be careful who you talk to on the phone. Let's be real. Because not everybody's saved. And some people just save on Sunday. You call them on Monday and you got an issue, they'll be off with you. Instead of trying to bring you on the stair course of staying in the will of God, they'll tell you, no, don't go back to no church. They'll agree with you in your pity party. They'll agree with you in your mess. They'll agree with you with your nonsense instead of telling you that that's not the will of God. Let's pray about this thing. They'll gossip, but they won't pray. They'll talk about people what they won't fast. They'll scandalize your name, but we won't touch and agree and fast and pray together. Come on now. You know that's the spirit in the church. And we all are guilty of it. Even me. We all are guilty of that spirit. And if you're not, you need to come to the altar and lay hands on me. Because we all like to hear something that's going on. Let's be real. So we've got to think about this. And so while he was there, his mind, the mind games that the enemy plays on a lot of us throughout this season destroys us. Why is it so many of us are attacked mentally? That's the strategic plan of the enemy to destroy your thought process. Because if you can't think, you can't function. You can't think, you can't operate. If you don't think, your hand doesn't move. If you don't think and say the spirit, your mind tells your foot to move, it doesn't move.
And a lot of time where the spirit of fear comes in, the enemy speaks to our mind and we begin to listen to what he talks about concerning the spirit of fear. We begin to have fear concerning driving, fear concerning ministering, fear concerning ministering to people, witnessing to people. We got fears that he places in our minds. We got to cast down every imagination, every thought that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing it down into captivity. Every time it comes against the word, anything that's opposite against the word, bring it down when it comes to your thought process. We've got to understand that, even just to let you know, when you ask God for healing, there's two types of healing. And be careful what you pray for and what you ask for. Because when you're sick and you ask God to heal you, there's two types of healing. One, physical healing in your body that's healed. The second is total healing, which can happen two ways. One, you can die and never come back. You're gone. That's total healing. The other one is God totally take that issue away from you. He never plagues you again. So you got to understand, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you pray for. Be careful how you speak over your children. Be careful what you say and how you say what you say. So Jesus goes through the process of becoming the Savior of the whole world. His blood was shed on Calvary. And there we see that without his blood, there is no remission of sin. In Hebrews 9 and 22, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with the blood. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Jesus died and rose up on the third day with all power given to him by the Father. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and 18. If there is no pain, there is no power. If you don't go through nothing, you can't have power. You can't have dominion. You can't have authority over the enemy. If you don't experience something, you can't say you have gone through that process. So why is it that when something goes wrong in our lives, we often run from God instead of running to God? We often need to remember that whatever we are going through, God permits it. And how do I know that God permits it? When Job was there, when the angels of the Lord came to meet together in front of God, and the enemy came up and said, I want to inflict Job. What did he ask for? Permission to inflict on Job. So that tells me that whatever we are going through, the enemy has no power over it unless God gives him room to do what he does. That's why the Bible said, I give you power to tread upon serpents, on scorpions, and over some of the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. The reason why I stopped, because I want you all to catch that. Which meaning God gave you the authority over every situation that you're going through. Right now, you have the power to deliver yourself. But because we won't stay in the word, we won't read the word, we won't pray the word, and we don't know the word, the enemy attacks us where he knows that we're most vulnerable. Knowing the word and quoting the scripture, by his stripes I'm healed. You could say it all day, but if you don't believe it, if you don't really get it in your spirit, man, if you don't believe that you're the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower, money will come and money will go. If you don't really get into that scripture and meditate upon it day and night that you may have good success, how do you expect it to manifest in your life? That's what's wrong with saints. The Bible says, my people, he didn't say the world. He said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because we'll read every other book but this. We'll read the newspaper. We'll read books by our favorite author. Harper Lee just came out with a new book. I got to read, honey. I got to get it from Barnes & Noble. But ask you about a scripture. Ask you. I call you. I'm having an issue. And we trying to touch and agree, you can't even find a scripture. And now it's such a shame that you can look at the back of your Bible and find out whatever issue you got. It's right there in the back. That made it so easy. There's topics. If you're sick, you can look up sickness. Not only that, you get to your phone, you could speak into it and said, find scriptures on sickness. It will make it so easy. But because we don't want to do the legwork, we want the pastor to do the work for us and the first lady. We want to call the ministers out and stress them out while you out playing game, while we trying to stay in the kingdom and trying to keep you in the kingdom. But you don't want to really want to stay because you don't want to do the work. Our people need to commit in 2018 to studying the word, living by the word, and walking like the word, and speaking the word. Because the only way you will make it is with Jesus Christ in your life. And if you don't have the word, get ready to be sifted like wheat. I pray that you don't, but you better get that word. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. Get it in your soul. Get it in every part of you. If you have to put notes all over your house with Bible scriptures just to remember it, you better get yourself together, because the enemy is playing for keeps. We can see that what we're looking at right now is the 24th chapter of Matthew unfolding itself quickly and expeditiously. If you don't know your Bible, you better go right to that text right there. And look at the news. That's your newspaper. God said, I'm pulling CNN, BBC, News Channel 8. You see all these things happening. We've got to keep our eyes and our ears open, like Pastor Preacher mentioned, being the watchman and woman of God. Because you don't want to be caught off guard with nothing. We've got to stand on the word of God. We've got to keep positioning ourselves to keep focus, because the word of God is going to build us into fortified men and women of God in 2018, that we will be unshakable. We will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that cannot be moved, that will bring forth fruit in every season. Not just in some season, but in every season. We've got to be prepared. I know a lot of us say we want to commit to things and we want to do all of this, but first, whatever New Year resolution you make, put God first. Put God's stuff first. A lot of us in here right now, you're too slack, you're too lazy-daisic. God told you to do stuff in 2018, and you better start doing it. He's going to start replacing you with other people. God ain't studying you. He don't need you. Always remember that. God don't need you. God don't need me. We are people on the stage of God's play. You can play the script, or he can fire you and give somebody else your line. There's always an understudy. Each and every one of us have the play need a part to play in this ministry that it will be successful. Each and every one of us have an assignment. Each and every one of us have a purpose. Each and every one of us knows what God has said for us to do, and we need to be about the Father's business. Stop looking at what other people are doing and do what you're supposed to do. When you do what you're supposed to, you'll be so busy doing what you're supposed to do, you won't be nosing, following what other people is doing. And stop trying to cover other people's gift. Because can I tell you something? Preaching ain't easy. Teaching ain't easy. You got to live right to hear from God. You got to do right to hear from God. God don't just give you any kind of messages. God don't do that. The ministers will tell you, when it's time for them to minister, they got to turn plates down. They got to really hear from God. It's not like you get up. We don't go on the internet and print our messages off. Oh, this one looks good. Or pay $29.99. This is the message for the week. No, it don't work that way. We've got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to minister to your spirit man, that when you leave here, you know that it was God. It was not man. It was not pastor. It was not the ministers. It was not us. It was God speaking to you. And you know that all the messages this year that have been ministered have ministered to your spirit man from the beginning to the last one. You've got to prepare yourself. Many of us now, you need to find your niche in this kingdom and begin to work. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. This church should be have more members in here right now. More members. There's a lot of work. We have slack concern. All of us have slack concern in our assignments. 2018, let it be a year of gird up our loin and be working in God's kingdom full force. Full force. Walking for Jesus, running for Jesus, doing what God calls us to do. Jesus died and rose so that we can all have power and authority. See, we are going through some experiences in our life because we accept Christ, and it's for our benefit. The text is, for God so loved the world, I'm coming down to a close, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life. 17, for God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. First of all, whosoever, it doesn't matter who accepts him, doesn't matter who you are or where you're from, what nationality you are, as long as you accept him. That's what's important. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? We are more concerned about houses and cars and all these things that are going to go away. I have never seen when somebody died that we are bringing their house and their car with them. Their hands are folded just like this. And I often tell this story about the woman of God. Her husband said, bury me with all my money. She wrote him a check and put it right in his hand. I know where he's going. He ain't going to be cashing nothing. Ain't no bank down there. There ain't no routing them. There's nobody standing at the teller office. Come on, bring your check, Mr. Anderson. So you've got to put where your treasures is, it needs to be. You've got to put it where it is. So we all have to continue to pray for our families and our friends and our community and witnessing to them that they might be saved, that they will turn their lives over to Jesus Christ and turn their hearts to God. When they hear the word, I pray that they harden not their hearts, that they will open up, that they will receive. In order to receive this gift, the title of the message is Thank God for the Gift of Jesus Christ. You've got to accept the free gift of God, that Jesus Christ came and died, and you've got to accept him into your life. That is the only way you can have the benefit of what the gift gives to you. And the greatest gift that you can have is eternal life. Because after you have ended your time here, where will your time in eternity be spent? Many of us are thinking about when we're getting our next this, our next that, but we don't ever think about what happens after death. And many of us don't even like to talk about when we die, what should you do? I told my wife, when I die, bury me in the cheapest casket, because I ain't studying nothing about none of all this fanfare. Because that's not what's important. What's important, that I live my life for Christ, and that when my last breath is sing, I hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. How many of us want to hear those words? Are you preparing to hear those words? You've got to prepare yourself to where you want to go. Prepared people have a prepared place that's being prepared for them. You heard what I said? Prepared people have a prepared place being prepared for them. Jesus said, I go to prepare. What did he say? All right. And where in my Father's house there are mansions. And if there were not so, I would not have said it. So you got to be prepared to go there. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be ready and willing to submit to God. So when we accept Jesus Christ, we get the gift of salvation. Salvation is the total package. You ever go for a job interview and they give you a benefit package? When you open up salvation's benefit package, it is the best retirement package that you can ever get. Not only do you get the sum total of every miracle, every promise that is yes and amen, but you get to have eternal life. After you have finished your course. Paul said, I have fought a good fight of faith. You've got to fight the good fight of faith. But if you're not fighting, how are you going to make it in? The benefit package, I'm coming to a close. I'm trying to close. I'm closing. He that believeth on him is condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten. Many people, when you witness to them, you have done your job. Because it is a choice, like the people of Israel was placed before. Today I place before you life and death. Life is accepting Jesus Christ. Life that you can live again. Life that gives you added benefits. Life that continues after you have lived. But death begins right after judgment comes. Once you say no, that is your prerogative. It is a choice. And the choice has to be made by each and every one of us. Each and every one of our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, every person that we come in contact have to make that choice. That's why salvation is an individual relationship with you and God. That's why I don't understand these people that keep saying, my pastor, you better get your own relationship because you will go straight to hell saying your pastor. It's the life you live. It's the life that you have totally sold out to Jesus Christ. It's the life that you give and understand that at the end of your journey, Jesus will give you everything. And because many of us have received him throughout this year, many of us have experienced some things. Many of us had experienced that Jesus came into our lives while we were going through whatever we are going through, God deliver. While we were inside of our sin, God took it fit to bring us up out of Lodibar. While we were sick and shut in, we begin to know God as Jehovah Rapha. Because many of us know if we look back and see how God healed us, we would be more thankful that he healed us. Because he's Jehovah Rapha. Many of us, even right now, we're not even talking, we don't even have food in our cabinets. But God is going to deliver. You're going to know him as Jehovah Jireh. Some of us didn't have a job. Some of us didn't know where the next bill was going to get paid. But God showed up. God showed out. God showed that I am that I am. God became your savior. God became your redeemer. God became your deliverer. God became your way maker. God became your promise keeper. When the enemy came up against you, when they lied on you, when they sabotaged on your job against you, God stepped in and became your Jehovah Nissi. He became your fighter. He became your battle. When you couldn't see no way, when everything looked dark and cloudy, everything was messed up, everything was going haywire, your children almost died, your family almost got hurt, all the situation, but God's hand was on them because you were praying for them. God showed up and showed out as the way. He became the way. He became the way for you. He became your open door. Doors closed in your face when you walked in for job interviews. Doors shut because you were getting ready to get a house. Doors shut because you were getting ready to get a promotion. But who God bless can no man curse. When God is ready to deliver you, when God is ready to hand off his benefit, nobody can stop it. And he said to tell you, 2018 is the year that many of you will see your children saved. He said, 2018, watch my hands. He said, watch my hands. Because I'm getting ready to show you that the prayer of the righteous availeth much. If you stand still and see the salvation of your God, I will do what I said I will do. Because the promise is not just to you, but it's to your seed. Seed, seed, and seed. He said, just hold on a little bit longer. He said, the answer may not come the way how you asked for it. I may have to do drastic things to deliver them. But watch my deliverance. Watch my hands, because I am Elohim. I am that I am that I am. We've just got to stand. Stand, everyone. To know him as who he say he is, because he's going to do it for you. Thank God for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank God that we have the opportunity. Thank God for the love that he shared for each and every one of us while we were in whatever we're in. He thought it fit to bring us back to him with love and kindness. Thank God that he cared enough to open the doors for us. If we look back over